Hebrews chapter 6 for a moment. Perhaps we can have a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to honor these moments. It's your time, your day. God, you already have tomorrow and the day after. So here we are, ready to proceed if you tarry and we live. So God, we're looking for you to deal with our heads and hearts in every way so that we are the more able, we are the more equipped, we are the more ready for all that lies ahead. So that in the process of it all, we're going to honor you, and we're not going to get caught up in the perplexities and in the ongoingness of everything, so that we lose out of our wonderful relationship to you, to be a little light in the darkness. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we shared in the 6 o'clock time, remember, here we are going down the corridor of time, and we're a little train, and we're all doing whatever in our little section, but as we look out the window, and it is very important, which is what we did, to remember what? Where are we headed? Because every time we look out the window, it's changing. Because we're going down the corridor of time, and everything's changing. It's changing rapidly, almost weekly, sometime daily, going down the thing. So as it's very important now, we can't enjoy the little local world of work, home, school, and play if we forget where we're going. Or we can't live as if it doesn't matter where we're going when it does. So we need to have that insight, that hindsight, that perception, so that as we're going, we are very conscious of where we're headed. It helps us enjoy the moments of work, home, school, and play properly. Now, so in the light of that, and think of ISIS and the Muslims and all of that that we just did. Now, here in Hebrews, in the light of our study in Joshua, here in Hebrews chapter 5, if I may start there, as you're familiar, among other things, the book of Hebrews is to mature, to grow, to understand. And thus, chapter 5, picking up in verse 10, God, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, why is that? Seeing you were dull of hearing. You'll remember our Lord will say in John 16, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I would like to tell you some things that you need, but you can't handle them now. I'll have to tell you later. Now, so here's the book of Hebrews. The Spirit of God is helping the believers, what? That we ought to be, there's many things, they're hard, they aren't always easy or pleasant, but they're real, and they're right, and they make things come out good. So verse 12, for when with the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the ABCs, of the oracles of God, and are become such as in need of milk, and not of strong meat. You're going the wrong direction, back to babyhood. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? For he is a babe. He can't have meat. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, growing, developing properly, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, so that we go to have all the exercise, the trials, the troubles, and everything else, so that we are learning. How do we learn? In the College of Hard Knocks, usually. That's the best school. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles, the ABCs, of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, etc. Verse 9. But beloved, verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to produce that. But on the other hand, verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and that the accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So we're speaking of the things that ought to be, and we're trying to help you grow, and we're trying to tell it straightway to you. And thus, we're trying to keep you, help you, so you are not dull of hearing, and so that you learn. If you can't, time isn't, as we shared. Everything is so rapidly happening as we looked at the world, as we looked at what's happening in the light of the King England and all of that, and we looked at that so we'd see it, so we see what's happening. And it's a very dynamic, very much active, alive, full of energy, what's going on. Wow. So now, having said that, over to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua and chapter 10. And in Joshua chapter 10, may I pick up, please, in thought. Joshua is going to go now. He's going to go and respond to the Gibeonites' cry for help. And they're going to do that. And they're going to do that. They're going to do that in a wonderful way. It is so wonderful the way they do it that God is going to honor it in a most, most wonderful way. So they are wonderfully going to respond to God. The heart is right. Everything is in order. And they're going to go. And God is going to show marvelously. So just to show you wow. Now, in order to get that, in order for them to go, like they're going to go, and go to help the Gibeonites. So in order for them to go, remember now, of that they're going to go battle the kings of the south. And in the process, there's no self-confidence, no disobedience, no covetousness, no prayerlessness. They're looking to God by faith, and God has taught them and got his message through so that they learn something. They had to learn and unlearn and relearn. And so now they're at a point where they're going to benefit wonderfully. Now, having learned that, they're going to have to go through and relearn it all over again. But at the moment, they're going to have a wonderful, wonderful exercise. Now, having said that little bit, remembering all the lessons. So here we are, they've come to chapter 10, and because they have remembered, they've gone through all of these things, and because they're remembering them, and they've had to go through learning and unlearning and relearning, so now they're going, and they're going to exercise these truths. That's why it's going to work. So what are these things that we would have discovered, should have discovered, Joshua 1, chapter 1 through chapter 9, all the way to chapter 10, the central part of Palestine. They just had that wonderful event in Samaria and that, with the law and the given, and they echoed the couple of million of them on each side up there, and echoed the amen to God's blessing and cursing. Now, In the light of that, so now, having said that, God, what on earth do they need to know? Do they need to learn? What do we need to benefit that they did? And it's a wonderful reminder for us. As long as you live in this body, whether in Egypt in the wilderness or in the land to claim God's will for your life. No matter as long as you're in this body, you have a conflict with sin. It's never going to stop. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be there. Tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be there. Next week, it's going to be there. It's not going to go away. I need to know that because I think I get freed and leave. Like I left the lion that was roaring at me, and I'm now going home and he can't get me. No, this isn't true about what your problem is. You have a problem of heart, your old nature. Go with me, please, over to pick up in Romans chapter 8. And we'll do one or two things with each thing so you're reminded, and I am reminded. Romans in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, Romans chapter 8, in verse 6, wonderful victory, everything, but we're reminded in the middle of it all, chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility, an enemy of God, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So your old nature and mine never, 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 no minute of any day of the rest of your life is it going to be in agreement with God. You understand that? There's no minute in the rest of your life, in your heart, that you will be in agreement with God in the light of your old nature. It'll never happen. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So I have to know that I have a problem. The problem is it's an existing one that isn't going to disappear. I have an old nature, and it is there. If I say, like in 1 John chapter 1, if I say I don't have one, no sin, I make myself deceived and God a liar. So I don't want to do that. I have a problem. So I want to understand that. And therefore, so now I'm in the land, make me Joshua. But our old nature that existed in the wilderness exists now. And so you might have had a wonderful week, but next week you got the same old nature you got to deal with. Now you got to settle that. Otherwise, you relax, and it sneaks in and takes over just like that. In word, thought, and deed, your attitudes, your habits, boom, there it is again. And so we got to confess our sin, etc., and we didn't realize we had to stay on our toes and be on guard. And in the light of that conflict, we have another kind of thing in which there is no neutrality. There's no middle ground where you can say, well, today I'm going to do neither. I'm not going to fight the war, win. I'm not going to go with the bad guy or the good guy. I'm just going to enjoy my lunch. And you can't do that. We think we can do that, but there are no alternatives. You're either with it or you're not. You're either trusting God or you're not. You either are having victory or defeat. That's all there is to it. Over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew in chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, remember, there's no neutrality. We like to think there's a neutrality, but there isn't a neutrality. And he reminds us in all kinds of different ways. Here's one of them. Matthew chapter 6, picking up, if I can, in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot, present tense, you cannot be serving God and man. Mammon, that is what you're trusting in, apart from God. So you either trust God or you don't. That's all. And you have to know that. I'm either trusting God tomorrow at lunch or I'm not. When I get out of bed, I'm either going to trust God or I'm not. When I go to sleep, I'm either going to trust God or I'm not. Work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. I'm either going to trust God or I'm not. There is no neutrality. So we like to think that, where we can just ease off and be free of the battle. No, it's an internal battle. So taking the land, Joshua, you can take the land. But the trouble is in taking the land, if your heart isn't right, you may take the land, but you're going to end up losing the land because your heart isn't in the place to keep the land. You have a wonderful, wonderful salvation from our Lord, by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't enjoy it unless you trust Him. That's all. You have to trust Him. So there is no middle ground whatsoever. And in the light of that, you have a wonderful, wonderful person, our Lord, stood, chapter 5, verse 13, etc., of Joshua. Our Lord stood before Joshua and on holy ground, and he had a sword drawn. And God, you are in the business of going to war and winning the war. Absolutely, absolutely. So Joshua, take your shoes off, it's holy ground. And Joshua, you're going to go, and I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts, and you're going to go. So now, having said that, here we are looking, God, and how did you tell us? How did you encourage us? Over to John chapter 16. John in chapter 16. And picking up, if I can, remember now, in all of the, we did this, it just to remind you, you can pick it up all over the place as you read the Gospel of John, in the upper room, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. But in chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. You're going to be put out of the synagogue, etc., etc. Verse 3, these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father. Verse 4, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them. I tried to tell you these things. Verse 6, because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. I'm trying to help you. I wish you wouldn't say anything to me. But he had to say it. Joshua, what are we going? We're going to go and have a momentous movement. Not going to happen, hardly, but boy, it's going to happen. And simply because we relearned and we got a handle for a moment on how to go. And God, you did it. Ah, now, chapter 16, these things of verse 6. Now you slide all the way over to verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that you may, purpose, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, courage, etc. I have overcome the world. So God, here we are, looking, and in the process, we have a wonderful, wonderful Savior to save us. And we want to look to you and trust you, and we are going to be what? More than conquerors. That's what we're going to be. God, because you overcame, and Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're going to overcome. So the person, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then God the winner, you're on whose side we're supposed to be on, God the winner, then God, you won. So I got my old nature that keeps losing. But I have a person of our Lord Jesus Christ who can do nothing but win. So I want to remember, now I need to understand, in me, it doesn't say feel all the wonderful truths. The Spirit of God is in you so that you could understand Christ is in you. It doesn't say that you're going to have great feelings and wonderment and all of that. Your old nature, you have a new nature and you're floating around free as a bird. Is that all right? Floating around, having a wonderful time because you're a new creature. Find me that. What you do is you've got an old nature that's against that. But you have Christ in you who's for it. And that's who you ought to trust. You're trusting Christ in you, the hope of glory. You aren't trusting your old nature, and you're going to feel good because you want to feel good. You want to do right. You want to this. You can do all of that. It isn't going to work. Because it isn't your nature to do that. And you have to understand that. And you can't be neutral. There's no neutrality. You're either for him or against him. And in the process, God, we're looking for you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, it's you. That's right. Where? You, here, there, in my heart. That's right. So that's where my victory is. That's where my life is. That's where I win. Not in me, but in him. In you. And either you understand that or you don't. And if you aren't saved, you certainly aren't going to understand it. And if you're fleshly and you don't want to ever understand it, you won't enjoy it ever until you get to God's holy heaven. Now, so here we are looking. And so there's no evil, looking to God, there's no evil that is so insignificant that you can just say it doesn't hurt anything. You can't say that. If we say we sin, if we say we don't sin, we make him a liar. Any sin. Now, therefore, just to make it easier, go with me to 1 John. 1 John, I'll let you read it. I'm going to share it with you. You already know it, but I'm going to tell you how to look at it. 1 John 1:7. Remember now, 1 John 1:7. We share this for Sunday school and all of that. I'll read verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, verse 7. If we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. Now, here you are walking, trusting God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. And it's like going through a shower, get a little wash, and then you step out of the shower, and you go a day or two at work or school, and then you got to go in the shower again. And back and forth, and get a little dirty. Is that what that says? Hang on. God didn't say that. You walk, and you are in the shower 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing you from all sin. Do you understand that? So there's no moment... You aren't looking for trusting yourself. You're trusting Christ, and you know you're a sinner. You have an old nature. You don't have a problem with that. People do. People even say there are no more old natures and all of that. But in the process, we're recognizing how to win, and we want to learn, relearn, and unlearn, and so that we can relearn properly. Now, so as we walk in the light, we're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. And it's what, and that trust is taking care of our sin nature, which is totally against God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I don't have a problem with that. How do I overcome? I'm not going to play with my old nature. I'm not going to sit and figure that out. It's a mess. So I don't do that. I don't even bother with it, you know, and say, well, you'll learn it, that's how you go. Romans 7:18, in me dwelleth no good thing. And you have to learn that and get it clear in your head. There's nothing there. You're carnal, fleshly, never going to please God, never. So you don't learn. So you don't sit there and whip yourself to death. Oh, excuse me. We don't do that. We don't do that. No, it's already done. I'm not going to sit and do that, beat myself up for being me. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. So I'm not going to sit there and punish and beat myself all my wrong things. I'd never go to bed if I had that. You understand? We're free. We're free. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. And we thank him. So we aren't trying to save anything about us. We're trying to thank God that we're able to walk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and God has a system in our relationship to Him that He is a constant saving. His saving grace is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's our Savior, Christ in us, the hope of glory, etc. And so God, we're able to do all things. We're able to do it in thick and thin, much and little. We can go because the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. So we aren't trying to figure out how bad we are or whether we were good enough or said the right thing. We spend our whole life playing with that. No, we just do. We make 1,000 mistakes. And thank God the blood of Jesus Christ walking in the light cleanses us from all sin. And when we have a big blunder, we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So therefore, there's no little sin that we say, well, that doesn't matter. No, the whole ball of wax, anything and every thought, word, and deed, to say it fully, every thought, word, and deed of your life requires the cleansing blood of Christ. He died for every thought, word, and deed of your life. If He didn't, you can't be saved. And we're going to trust Him. So that, thank God for that, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to have some practicalness. We don't want to just be theoretical. We're trying to always put it to work. If we don't put it to work, you are never going to get the truth. We don't even need to preach the truth. We can just give you a wonderful thought, wonderful outline, and a few things. Yay, we went to church, we did it. It isn't about that. It's about discovering how to exercise our newness of life. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So now, in the light of that, therefore, we share together, there is no sin, no evil, that no bad, all of it is there, and any part of it, and God didn't say, I'll cleanse you sometime. He cleanses us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as we walk in the light as He is in the light. And we are to enjoy that in a most wonderful way. And we have to deal with it in a full measure. So now, in the light of that, when we are defeated, and we get defeated, and we get concerned because we goof, we don't walk in the light, we don't be thankful, and when we stop being thankful, we stop being thoughtful, and when we stop being thoughtful, we get all tied up in our old nature, and it doesn't come out good. So therefore, God, here we are looking. And in the process, we're going to say we need to discover what the problems are. So that's where we're going to look to You in prayer, God. When things aren't going well, You have to say, what's the problem? And God, we're walking in the light as He is in the light, and the blood cleanses us. But God, there could be something, that, like 1 John 1:9, there's a thing in the way, and we need to see it. If it's whatever it is, you can't say it simple another way. You need to be going straight down the corridor to get to where you're going. But you're going to the left and right and backwards, one of them. You can't keep going backwards when you're supposed to go forwards. Does that make sense? So you want God to bless you while you're going backwards? God bless me. He isn't. You got to fix it. You got to see it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. I'm going backwards. And something's going to happen here. I'm going to lose it. No question. God isn't going to bless. And I'm going to lose this relationship. I'm not going to be able to be thankful. Things are going to happen. And God, I got to turn around and find the problem. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and picking up, please, if I can, think of this morning, we studied try to think about a few things in the light of dying, so that when your comfort, sympathy, support, you're going to be able to have a little freshness about it, at least with God and with your heart, so you can handle all the sorrow and loss of all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. And that includes all the people being killed and everything else. You don't need a counselor. You need a savior. Now, so in the light of that, so here we are doing this. So I said, boy, we're having a little list today, a checklist. This morning, one, so that you handle sorrow and death and all of that. And here's a checklist. We're looking, reminding ourselves. How come we can go to the next section and have such an awesome thing? Because they got it clear, as we shared. Now, Psalm 139, picking up, please. In verse 23, as you know, God, you can't escape God's presence. And therefore, God, you know everything. Uh-huh, I do, God said. Verse 23. Search me then, O God, and know my heart, and see, and try me, put me to the test, trial, and know my thoughts. You know my thoughts. Your thoughts about me are higher than the heavens. But my thoughts, God, you know them. So you need to take care of my thoughts so that I enjoy your thoughts. And my thoughts, I need to understand them. And if there be any wicked way in me, here I am going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And as I go, God, you already know what's ahead. You already know everything. So God, I want you to search my heart, keep me, help me stay ahead so I understand, so I'm not tricked, trapped. I'm staying ahead, God, so I'm with you. So when I go, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to fail or flunk. Because I'm trusting you, and you know ahead, and you are going to, God is faithful to send me down the corridor of time, and he will see that no matter who, what, when, where, how, he's going to see that I can make it. That's his will. So God, here we are. So search me, said David, search me. Psalm 32. So we want God to search us. I can't. I don't know my heart. God does. So I hope he brings up whatever it is and helps me know what it is that's keeping me. If I'm going the wrong direction, I want to know that, and God has to help me to know it. And God will help me to know it if I want to. God will help me so that I can know. Now, in the process, Psalm 32, here's David again. And David's recovering, remember, from his sin, Psalm 51. And now here's Psalm 32, and picking up if I can, it's sliding down, remember, David, here you are going, and your day and night, verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned to the drought of summer, Selah. God, I was having a terrible problem in my heart and mind, so I missed the blessing of verse 1 and 2. I missed that. Now, how did you fix it, David? Verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, you acknowledge your sin. Did you ask for forgiveness, David? Nope. I didn't. I didn't need to. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So David, you already knew of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's right. And I didn't go and ask God for something and then wait for him to give me something that he's already given me. And how do you get something that he's already given you? I want peace. Joy. Power. You're waiting. You're waiting? Because you're looking for something that God has already given. And once God has given it, you're wasting your time. God has to help you get educated, so he already gave it to you. So what are you doing? Good, give me. I already gave it to you. When I gave you my son, I gave you myself. And when I gave you myself, I gave you my love. That means I want the highest and best for your life. When I gave you myself, everything that I am is for you to understand, enjoy, and learn about me. So God, is there any lack? No, no lack at all. So David, what did you say? David said, I confess my sin and my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So David, yeah, I got it. So God, here we are looking, and you're going to spell out the problem. David went through the problem, and it was about a year, before he got this. It took a whole year. David had to work through it, and boom, he got it. Wow. But it took a year. It didn't have to, but in this case it did. And you and I are way ahead of David, because you and I are superior, even though David is a man greatly, greatly God's man, beloved of God, the king. Wow. But David, you are David, and we are part believers of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we, David, are way ahead of you, wonderfully so. And you and I are nobodies, and he was somebody. Wow. Now, so here we are, God, David, looking over to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. And remember, when you spin out, you're going in the wrong direction. And so what do you have to do? You have to turn around and go in the right direction. You've got to repent. You've got to turn around and fix it. And if you don't fix it, you can't keep saying, well, I know the problem, but you don't fix the problem. Then the problem stays with you. So here's Exodus chapter 23. And in the process, here's Israel. Israel has a problem. God was doing everything, and God would do wonderful things. But they had to learn, that's what we're looking at and seeking to be educated again. Chapter 23, picking up in verse 30. Verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased, and they'll inherit the land. So God, here we are, and we would like to go, in our little thinking, God, just fix me and finish it so I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to battle my sin nature. I don't have to walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me. I get it all fixed, God. Could you handle that? He's going to fix it when he steps out of heaven into the clouds and calls you up. And you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But until then, he's not. Because you got an old nature. And you understand, God, you don't fix us so that all of a sudden we're 3 years old and the next minute we're 30. Wouldn't that be something? 30, 3 years old to 30. Yay, we grew up already. You know, I didn't have to go anywhere. I got, well, let's do better than that. 3 years old and you retire at 35. How's that? Wow, yay. It isn't that way. And life isn't that way. It never works that way. So God, what do you do? How do you help Israel? Little by little, I'm helping them. That's what we're reading. We're reading, it's thinking. Here's all the exercises you're doing in the day of Joshua's 1 through 9, etc. And so God, little by little, you're going to go and help us. So God, we have a little step and we learn. Now think of all the things, if you could absorb, and I could, all the information that you get in a month. How's a month from here? All the truth just for today. Just for today. If you could absorb that and walk out the door and practice it. Do you know what a life difference you would have? But you can't do that. You may remember nothing. You know, people die. That's the morning message. People die. That's the best they got. People die, you know. And tonight, we have a lousy old nature that won't go away. What good did it do getting saved? No, it isn't that. Little by little, so we, God, you have to help us. So we remember little things. And here's 15 things, and you might remember one of them. Isn't that good? You remembered one thing today. And you put it to work. That's awesome. And that's how you're going to get it. You aren't going to walk out of here with 10 of them. I've been in this a little bit. And thousands and thousands of things. And I'm stupider than ever. I'm telling you objectively and for real. It's real. It's stupid. I'm embarrassed, but not embarrassed to tell you guys because you don't care. But in the process, it's true. Thousands and thousands of truth. I just don't remember them all. I don't put them all to work. You know, I do them. I fumble through them. And I do it, but little by little. So all of these, all for thousands and thousands of things, and little by little, I absorb little by little. That's all because I can't absorb it all. And you can't absorb it all. You get little by little. God, that's otherwise that we'd never learn. But you take a little to get a little more. Now, over, if you would, please, to Joshua. No, begins with J. Judges. Judges chapter 2. And in Judges chapter 2, helping us. So the work, so here we are, God, and we need to repair, we need to change the directions wrong. We pray, you show us, and then we have to fix it. That's all. You fix it. You fix your mind, you fix your heart, you learn. Otherwise, you don't. That's all. And Judges chapter 2, remember, after Joshua dies and that. And therefore, in chapter 2, picking up God did, here's Israel struggling. Everyone's going to do that which is right in his own eyes. God, you understand the mess and the attitude of the people that it's not good. That's right. But God, verse 20, chapter 2, verse 21, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So here's the bad guys are still there. The Gibeonites are still there. They didn't go away. And they're going to make all the rest of the problems. Verse 22, chapter 2. That through them, the enemy, the problems, that I may prove and put to the test Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. In other words, I'm going to give you a little bit to exercise. Not a whole lot. I just want to know, do you understand? I'm going to help you inch by inch. I'm not going to have you yard by yard, 3 feet, but inch by inch so that you're going to go and let's see if you can do 1 inch. And I want to know if you'll trust me, 1 inch. That's all. I'm not going to give you a whole yard, 1 inch. That's all I want to know. I want to know if you're going to honor me. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Are you going to do it? I'm going to do it, God, today. Tomorrow morning, tonight when I go to bed, and when I get up tomorrow morning, God, I'm going to exercise. Now, and God said, I'm going to do it little by little. I'm going to let the problems keep coming because you got an old nature and you're going to have the war. You're going to have it. There's no neutrality and you're going to have to make, you either win or lose, victory or defeat. And verse 23, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. God, you purposely left the bad guys to help the Israel. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove, put to the test Israel by these nations, by them, even as many of Israel as has not known all the wars of Canaan. They never went through any of them. So Joshua died, the battles have been won and fought, Did you guys go through Joshua chapter 10? We were never there. We never had that. Then God said, I'm going to help you have something to learn. I'm going to have the problems and the persistency of the problems so that you're going to learn to trust me. Thus, verse 2, only that generations of the children of Israel, only that purpose, that the generations of children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. So I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them have problems. But the problems aren't going to be, they don't even know about those other things. All they're going to do is go through what they do. And they're either going to learn to trust me or they're not. And if they don't trust me in what they face, and your work, your home, your school, you're all going to do it, if the Lord tarries, tomorrow morning. Now it's yours. You either win or lose. Take your pick. It's up to you. You can win or lose. Now, so in the process. So, our enemies are not going to disappear suddenly. No. They're going to be very gradual. And God, here we are looking, and a battle, and we're going to have a thing, and you're going to have, now I'd like to be able to say for myself and us, that we would go out, and we're going to go tomorrow morning and win all 24 hours of the day, each thing that comes our way. But likelihood of that is pretty small. It's possible, but hard to come by. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go, and we're going to lose some battles. And when we lose the fight, and we lose the moment, we lose the opportunity, we don't trust God, and we go through whatever, we go through the battles, and we lose. So, God, what are we going to do? We're going to have a recovery program. So, God, we have to understand that it's a war. That's right. We just read it, Judges. There's a war. And there's battles daily, work, home, school, play, you have them. People, persons, places. We're living in that kind of world. So God, as we go through that kind of thing, we're going to lose battles. It doesn't mean you lose the war. You lose the battle. You lose the hour. You lose the day. And you kick yourself if you're learning, and you don't want to do that again. And then you pick it up and you learn, and that's how you're going to learn. You go inch by inch, and you battle. So when you go down and fall, you don't sit there and beat yourself to death. The reason you failed is because you answered it. You answered it very simply. You didn't trust God. Why did that happen? I didn't trust you, God. So I should have trusted you. And I'm learning. So the battles, I'm going to lose a lot of them. But in losing, I'm going to win. I'm going to start winning battles. Because I'm being realistic and simple and practical, and it works. God, you're going to win. That's right, now. So here we are looking. Psalm 37. No, for time's sake. God, there's all kinds of traps and tricks. God, we've got to fight the enemy. We don't want to fall down. We will fall down. But we're going to get up. Whenever you fall down, get up. Whenever you goof up, confess up, and get going. Don't let anything hold you and let it build. As you let things build in your life, they have a strength to them and possession to them. And they start possessing you because then you're looking for solutions and you're trying to figure out who to blame and what you can do. And all of that starts building up inside of you and it gets so big you can't handle it as simply as you could have. The moment you fell down, get up. Get up. We didn't read it. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. When you fall down, next verse, get up. That's all. And some of you I know can't get up. Body goes. I understand that. You wish you didn't. But the heart doesn't get, don't let the heart get where it can't get up. The body may not, but don't let your heart get there. No, sir. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just. And he reviews it in the court up there and see if he can forgive it. Is that what he does? And spends 10 years of your life figuring out whether he can forgive you. Is that what he does? Never. It's instant. Instant. Boom! And you get up in 2 seconds and you recover. Boy, that's great. Wow. Psalm 25, verse 15, I'll read verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. And without taking time, there's the traps, there's the tricks, there's all kinds of things in the world, and we can't watch them. Think of the years and the situations in the past, maybe still in the present, where there have been minefields in the ground that were laid by the enemy. And until they're cleared, you want to stay out of that whole area because you don't know where they are to step on them. Wow, and people got killed stepping on them. So what do? God, there's all minefields. And they're all around us, everywhere. The government, the school, the everything around us is full of traps and tricks that are our flesh, God. And they aren't looking to you. And God, I'm going to get in them. So God, am I going to be able to go and see all the traps? I can't see all the traps. I can't know all the people, what they think and what they do at work, home, school. I don't. The people do what they do. God, what am I going to do? I'm going to look to you. Psalm 25. And you will pluck my feet out of the net. I may step in it, but I'm not looking to get my foot out of the trap. I'm looking to you to get me onward, trap or no trap, trick or no trick. I'm going to go forwards because I'm looking to you to get me there. Now, so God, that's what I'm going to do. And in the process, God, we have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior, a wonderful, wonderful resource. And God, there's all kinds of problems in all kinds of ways. And so therefore, God, what? Thank God that your life in Christ is impossible for you to do. Thank God that all that God wants for your life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, work, home, school, all of that is impossible apart from God. You thank God that it's out of your hands. How do you make God's will work in your life? You don't. You don't know how to do it. But you're going to look to God, and God is going to work it out in a most wonderful way. So you're going to thank God. And God, and what are you teaching me? Without me, John 15:5, can you finish it? Without me, you can what? Do nothing. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you learn. Without me, you can't do it. So you want my will for your life, you'll have to include me. Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, morning, noon, and night, you're going to have to include me. Work, home, school, hospital, whatever it is, you're going to have to include me. You can't exclude me. And therefore, God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you with thanksgiving that it's beyond us. So God, you told us to be holy as you are holy, and you didn't give us an impossible thing. You gave us a very practical thing, because you are holy, and we are going to be holy in your holiness. So God, you didn't ask us, be perfect as your Father is perfect. How can that be? Because your Father is perfect, and you're perfect in his Son. And therefore, God, you didn't tell me anything that isn't true. I just need to know why it's true. It isn't true in and of ourselves. It's true because of you. So God, here we are, and we don't want to excuse all the hard things in life, all the things that we have to face, work, home, school, the different things we have to do. We don't want to use that as an excuse so that we don't submit and don't serve. We don't honor you because it isn't practical, it isn't for me, it's too much, maybe for some David and Paul, maybe, but not. I'm not them, I'm just me, and that's true. There's no question. So therefore we use it as an excuse because, God, you're asking the impossible. He said, no, I'm not. I told you, without me you can do nothing. And therefore everything is possible. So don't tell me it's impossible, and don't use that as an excuse to go do what you want to do because I couldn't do it anyway. So I'm going to live the way I want. Then you're going to lose. Therefore, don't be committed. Don't give yourself to God. Don't give yourself to the need. Don't do that. No commitment to the need. Don't. There's all kinds of needs everywhere. You'll give yourself to God for His wonderful outworking. And you don't apply yourself and your resources and to the need. The need, and God, here I am to meet the need. Here's my resources to meet the need. Don't do that. Take your resources and yourself and give yourself to God. God outworks everything. So don't sit there and say, God, I care. I'm going to apply my resources. And God, and my knee, and I care, I'm going to help. No. God, I'm here. We're here for your outworking of your goodwill in the complicated, troubled world going cuckoo. But it's going to end up, and as we shared, it's going to end up the way it's supposed to. And God, that has to be this way. So God, here we are looking to you, and we're going to trust you. I'm not going to trust my health, not going to trust my wealth, not going to trust my wife, not going to trust my job, not going to trust my anything. I'm going to trust you, God. That's all He wants. Remember, remember Romans 11, you don't have to turn there, that God said, everything, I created it all, it all is outworking itself, and it all is going to honor me in the end. That's how it's going to go. And then the next statement then is Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable thing. Then God's going to do. So we learn to trust Him. And it isn't some fly-by-night idols or religious philosophy, a bunch of gook stuff. That's religion. No, it's for real. For real. And you've got to go for it. Otherwise, you can have a whole lot of stuff that's way never going to get there, and that's going to tell you, you never need to get there. Everything's good enough for you. And we like to hear that, don't we? It's good enough. And you don't want good enough. You want it to work. So I don't listen to them, and I hope you don't. Roll up your sleeves and go for it. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, we're in the battle, and we want to be able to benefit in unlearning the things we do and learning the things we ought and relearning them all over again, even in a better way. So God, deal with us. Thank you very much for caring and helping us in Christ's name. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Could we sing, please, in your little book, the supplement, could we sing number 40? 40.